Hello, everyone in Construction Land. Welcome to our podcast, Constructive Conversations, your source for anything and everything construction related and a little bit more. This podcast is brought to you by the fine folks of and my employer, Brian Edwards & Company, CPAs. Today, we have Brian Hoylman, the CEO and president of the ABC Appalachia. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Eddie, for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's not a problem at all. We enjoy going to all of the functions with the ABC, working with the ABC and all of their members. And it's great to have you on here to talk about your organization and the construction industry in West Virginia in general. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, please just tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal life, your career, your background, things like that.
Sure. So, I was born and raised right here in West Virginia my whole life. I'm a native of Putnam County. I graduated from Hurricane High School and got my bachelor's in political science and history from West Virginia University. And since then, on the professional side, most of the work that I've done has been in the public policy arena. And then I've had a stint there a couple of years working in campaign politics on a few statewide political campaigns for Bill Maloney, who ran for governor in 2011, 2012. After I got done with that, sort of sprint for a couple of years, I went in to work for the now attorney general, but also the governor-elect, Patrick Morsi, and his initial group of hires there in 2013, and had a wonderful couple of years working there with him, working through their transition and reshaping that office. But a couple of years later, I got a call to come and sit down and meet with the folks at ABC, a group I knew a little bit about, but not a great deal about. And I got to learn a lot quickly and looked like a group I really wanted to come and do some work with. And it'll be 10 years this January that I've been working with ABC and serving in the role of president for them. They're a wonderful group, a wonderful board that's been very good to me and very kind to me over the years. And so we've done a lot of work. We've had some really good years, with ABC and do some other things on top of that. About 4 years ago, I started my own government relations and consulting firm, doing some additional contract work and things like that. And so I certainly stay pretty busy with all that. But also at the house with my wife, Mandy, and I, we have three children, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a going on 5-month-old. So we've got a brand new baby here. And they keep us busy. We like to, be involved with the community. My kids are involved in athletics. We like to hike and fish and hunt and, be outside when we can. And there's always something just about every day keeping us busy, keep us going. But that's part of the fun of it. So, that's me from 30,000 feet. You want to dive into anything else more specifically? I'm more than happy to. So,
yeah. When we were up at the ABC Excellence in Awards Banquet in Morgantown, mm-hmm. This past year, got to know a little bit more about your background. When Bill Maloney got up and spoke and you got to introduce him and talked about your work with him, it was a real interesting conversation and speech from him talking about the mine rescue that he was involved with in Chile and just your work in general with his campaigns and in politics in general. But you mentioned Kimball Birch, and I'm sure that keeps you busy with the government relations and public relations work that you do. Mm-hmm. It sounds like just like myself, you lead a busy family life too. And I'll tell you when that third one comes, that the gray hair comes even faster after that, as you can tell in my beard, in my head. You've for as long as I've been back with Ron Edwards, probably 6 or 7 years ago, you've been involved with the ABC and got to know you a little bit through that. But it's good to have you on the show and let everybody else get to know more about you and your background and where the organization is going to come from. Just jumping right off of the topic of you and into the organization itself, can you give the audience some more information on ABC Appalachia, the mission, the vision, affiliations, and all that?
Yeah, of course. So ABC, we are a trade association. We represent primarily commercial and industrial construction companies, as well as a variety of members that support the industry through associate memberships, such as Brown Edwards or law firms or accounting firms, engineering firms. We also have a lot of supplier members, equipment and material suppliers. But the bulk of the work that we do and service we provide is for those contractors. I mean, one distinction I think that's worth noting, because there's several groups out there. Most of our members are of the merit shop, or they're non-union companies. And so that's something that they rally around. And it gives us a little bit better direction and focus when it comes to certain things, particularly in the legislature, because there's obviously some very clear distinctions with regards to labor affiliation and policy that affects those types of things. And so while we've often been labeled anti-union, we're not at all. We certainly support people's right to choose to join a union, but we also try to vote, work hard to protect our companies who choose not to, and try to make laws or influence the process with regards to law so that they're fair and balanced and not tipped, you know, one way or the other to provide any favoritism within the industry. And so that's a big focus of what we do with our political advocacy and public policy. But there's a variety of other services that we provide. Networking is certainly a big component of that. You mentioned the events that you've attended at ABC over the years. It's very important for us. I mean, as you know, the construction industry, you know, people drive by, let's say someone's building a school and they see, you know, ABC Construction on a sign out front. Well, that company is not doing all of the work. They are hiring dozens of subcontractors. They're working with insurance firms, accounting firms, dozens more material and equipment suppliers. I mean, it's really this sort of orchestra of economic activity taking place on every construction site. And so it's important for us to create a lot of opportunities throughout the year for our members to get together, to meet new folks, to give them opportunities to try to develop more business and learn while they're there. You know, a lot of our events, and Brown Edwards has been a wonderful contributor to this, a great example being in 2018, it was right after they passed the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which was in November, December. We had the team from Brown Edwards down at our annual winter meeting at the Greenbrier in January, telling all of our members about how that law is going to impact their businesses. And sure enough, that room was packed because everybody wanted to hear from the accountants and see what the differences in the tax code were going to be. And so there's always hot topics. All of our events provide content, networking, and really just times for people of the same industry to get together and enjoy themselves and have a good time. Some other things that we do that are more service oriented, we provide legal support to our members. We provide training, whether that be supervisor training, apprenticeship training, workforce development is certainly a big objective we're very focused on, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. It's really become a problem we're trying to address through training. We have bulk discount programs and bulk buying programs that are very popular with our members. And so there's this 4 or 5 things that we really try to focus on and be good at. We don't try to stretch ourselves too thin. And, you know, we try to make sure that we're a constant resource that's available for our members to utilize when it comes to any one of those areas. And that exists on a local level, on a state level with the state legislature. And we're part of a larger national group based out of D.C. So our chapter is one of 67 chapters around the country that provides support to members and represents about 25,000. Members throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly a great network of contractors and associates to pull from, you know, for members and just in general. The ABC is a great tool to use in your business. So in the organization, what is your specific role with the ABC Appalachia?
So I serve as the president and CEO, and essentially it's similar to an executive director title you would have at a different association. Every association titles or structures it a little bit differently, but my responsibility is to run the day-to-day of the association, to manage our staff, and to serve as our chief lobbyist with regards to, you know, public policy initiatives and other things. As you know, we have a board of directors. We have 15 members on that board. Our association is entirely member driven. Those contractors and members of the board are the ones who, you know, set the goals, the vision, the strategic plan for the association. It's my job to implement that on their behalf, to make sure that the committees they want to hear from are meeting, to make sure that the services they want for their fellow members are being provided, to make sure that the events we're holding are being done properly and well attended. And so there's a little bit of everything involved in a normal day for me, from marketing events, managing staff, doing financial work, reviewing invoices, to talking to lawmakers and dealing with my board or preparing them for a board. We just had a board meeting yesterday. So, there's a lot to it, but, it's really been a wonderful experience for me. And it really comes down to the members. They're just wonderful folks, guys. I love going to bat for, I love being their representative. And, it's led to a lot of fun things for us to do over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely a lot of great members, some of which are clients of ours and people that we've gotten to know really well. But, in addition to all the great members, you also have a great support team underneath of you, mm-hmm. or they're right alongside of you. Can you tell us some more about them?
Yeah. So we have four full-time staff, including myself. There's Felicia Talley at our office in Charleston. She handles all of our marketing. She does a lot of our event planning and wears a few other hats. She helps with a little bit of everything. She's our membership coordinator, deals with the members a lot on a day-to-day basis. She's the one that when you call is usually going to have the answer or go track it down for you if it's something you just need about an event or something coming up with a training. We have an individual based out of Morgantown. His name is Walker Carroll, and he is my membership director. Walker's job is to go out and not only meet with our current members, kind of keep his thumb on the pulse, hear what they're doing out there and what support that they need, but to identify other members, potential members that might be interested in joining the organization. He covers a territory that's all of North Central West Virginia over into the western panhandle of Maryland and the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. And so he's got a pretty big area there that he serves. And then also at our office in Charleston is Tessa White. Tessa's a former accountant. She's an accountant, but she used to work at one of the larger firms. And she does a lot of our accounting work and bookkeeping work. And she also handles some other clients and really is a great advisor to me and to the other staff and, some of her wisdom and the things that she works on. So, yeah, there's a good group of us. But I mean, really, there's kind of two ways to look at it. If you look at the team, there's the staff. And then again, I'll mention the board. They are the volunteer leaders of the association. They commit a lot of their time and energy to providing us the insight, the vision. And like I said, the goals and the planning for us. And so it's a pretty big group that's involved with, a lot of the work that we do day to day.
Yeah. Yep. So you all recently made a name change to the organization. You used to be known as ABC West Virginia. Now you're ABC Appalachia. Can you tell us about that switch?
So that came with an expansion of our territory. We were formerly ABC West Virginia. Our territory was, or our chapter territory, if you will, was the entire state of West Virginia, the state line. We had been working on and doing a shared services agreement with one of our chapters in Maryland. It was called the Cumberland Valley Chapter. They were based out of Hagerstown. And our goal there was to kind of spread our wings in the Eastern Panhandle. It's really far away from our office in Charleston, but there's a lot of economic activity out there. There's a lot going on. And it was just really hard to get up there and identify people to get involved and to service those members. But the Cumberland Valley Chapter and their apprenticeship program was based right there in Hagerstown, 20 minutes from Martinsburg. So for years, we have been doing this very sort of coordinated effort to make sure that we're having some, joint events and that we're getting more members involved and that we're focused on that part of West Virginia due to its proximity of that chapter. And over this past year or so, we've started entering into conversations about merging those two chapters and their operations. And so there's a long backstory to it. It would take us a while to get through it. But at the end of the day, that was the decision that our boards made and working through our national board and restructuring the charter and the organization. And we found ourselves now as a larger chapter that serves, it's a few counties in PA, it's five counties in Maryland and all 55 counties in West Virginia. And we didn't feel that ABC West Virginia was necessarily the proper title for that. And so we looked at a number of different names and we landed on ABC Appalachia since all the counties fall into the Appalachia region. And there's a lot of commonality, even though we're across multiple states now. The Maryland members in that part of Maryland very much identify both culturally and professionally with a lot of the members we have in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Now, that wouldn't necessarily be the case if we, had members in Baltimore, right? There's the way the economy works, the way the political scene is, the way all these things are, everybody has a little bit of uniqueness to them when it comes to their chapter and how they operate. And so that was a name we felt really kind of encapsulated the way that our members operate and where they're from and a clear distinction about the part of the country that they work in. So,
yeah, well, I like the name. I'm glad it stuck. I think it rings true, like you said, to this region, this area, and the mm-hmm. people in it.
Yeah.
But it's also a great pooling of resources between the two chapters to come together like that.
Yeah.
So, you just talked about merging with one other chapter, but how do you coordinate with any other ABC chapters, or do you locally or regionally or in the tri-state area?
Oh, we do constantly. So one of the things that we haven't provided directly through our chapter that a number of our chapters do, about half of them, is direct apprenticeship training. We've been involved in steering committees and other conversations with the community and technical college system, developing programs, helping every way we could, and helping market, you know, what offerings there are out there to our members. But it's been a challenge for us to do it, really, because of the geographic setup of West Virginia and where the population centers are. We have enough interest to get programs started. We just don't necessarily have a location that's feasible for everybody to do the in-person instruction. But what we've done more recently is we've created some new interesting ways to provide that training virtually or through our neighboring chapters. So that's one great example about a company that might be working in Western PA and might want to utilize their apprenticeship program or go to some of their events or whatever it may be. I have very open lines of communication with my counterparts around the country. I'll call my dear friend there in Washington and in Washington, PA, and tell them, hey, you know, this member is going up there. We'll make an introduction. And they'll start getting direct services from that chapter, no different than what they would get in our chapter here in West Virginia. And that also works on a referral basis. A lot of times the Gulf Coast companies will be coming into West Virginia to work on large industrial projects, and they'll need to find subcontractors, and they'll need to find additional resources. And so it's not uncommon at all to be putting those lists together and trying to connect the dots for our members, which is a great business development tool for them. But it's something that we do on a pretty regular basis, whether it be industrial work, commercial work, whatever it is. You see the same thing in the Eastern Panhandle. Because as you know, the construction industry is a mobile industry. If you have a contractor that's based in, let's say, Beckley, West Virginia, he doesn't only work in Beckley, West Virginia. He might have a project in Fayetteville, another one in Huntington, mm-hmm. West Virginia, one down at Bluefield, Virginia. You know, so they're constantly moving around. They're constantly moving with the types of projects that they pursue. And we have contractors that may have a little bit smaller footprint with regards to where they work to companies that work all up and down the East Coast. And so that provides us the opportunity, working with our fellow chapters, to make a lot of those connections and to help provide that support when they are moving outside of where they are based. And so that's important. And one other thing, too, is, you know, my counterparts around the country, I have a peer group that we get together a few times a year, which is a wonderful resource for me to learn about what their chapters are doing that can be brought into our chapter as far as a service offering or as far as, you know, a particular event set up or a speaker that they may have had will have come into our event. We also have a larger group or larger conference where me and all my counterparts once a year get together and, you know, discuss best practices and other ideas. And so there's a lot of interaction between our chapter and the other chapters, and much of it is certainly focused around the benefit that provides to our contractors in West Virginia.
Yeah. So we've talked a good bit about the organization itself, the services, the resources, the board, the team, the networking. But could you tell us some more about some of your networking events that you have planned coming up?
Yeah, of course. And we're starting a new year. So we've been working on a lot of event budgets and event registration pages and all those things. But it's going to be our normal slate this year with a couple of new things because of the expansion. You know, we're trying to add some new events up there in that Hagerstown area. But for us, normally we have what we kind of classify as singular events or multi-day events. And our multi-day events are some of our more popular ones. It's also the one coming up the soonest, our Greenbrier meeting in January. We do it's called our annual winter meeting. We always do that in January. It's always right before the legislative session, which gives us a great opportunity to bring in lawmakers or state board of public works officers or department secretaries or whatever, to talk about the issues that we're going to be working on during that legislative session and for them to meet and work with our members and then bring in additional content like I referred to earlier. We also have a summer meeting. We typically do that at Snowshoe, which is a wonderful place to go and visit in the summer. And we also have a destination meeting where we try to get everybody together outside of the state lines of West Virginia or Western Maryland and go have a good time somewhere and then learn somewhere a little bit different. So we bounce around with that one usually to a warmer spot in late April, early May. This coming year. We actually just finalized some of these things. We got delayed a little bit with some of the hurricane activity in Florida and some of the venues we were talking to, but we ended up settling on a venue just outside of Charleston, South Carolina. So that's where our members are going to be heading in May, and we'll have that information going out to them soon. But in addition to that, we have a couple golf outings. We have a sporting clays tournament. We have a fishing tournament. You mentioned our Excellence in Construction Awards Gala that we have in the fall every year. You know, so there's a lot of activities that we like to put together and we work on throughout the year. You know, and even smaller events, we have a lot of these little after hours types events, or we might rent the suite at a local ballpark and try to get, you know, 30, 40 of our members down for something like that. And so it keeps us certainly busy, but again, it's something that the members continue to attend and continue to attend more and more every year. And so we're looking for ways to improve them, but always we always know how valuable it is to them based on the response that we get. So,
great. And I've been fortunate enough to get to go to quite a few of your all's events. Hopefully the destination meeting might be on my agenda in the next few years. I'll try for that one. But they are great. They are great networking events. And you know, you have, I was fortunate enough to get to speak at your summer meeting at Snowshoe this past summer to give a little presentation, but they're generally, are good informative sessions like that where members don't just go for networking, but they also get, good information and benefit out of attending.
Yeah.
So we know that, you have a political background and the ABC does legislative work. What are some of the current legislative priorities and even past legislative accomplishments that you could speak of?
Sure. So, you know, this coming legislative session, we have a few things that we're working on. You know, one new interesting one is it's a new delivery method for procurement. You know, the very classic approach in West Virginia when bidding work is design, bid, build, right? And so most people are familiar with that. There's a little bit of design, build work that gets released on the state side. We are looking at a new one called Construction Manager at Risk. This places the contractor more on the front end during the development phases of a project. And that's to provide some additional consultation and resources with regards to, you know, materials and lead times and things like that. One of the biggest issues we've been having across the industry is projects going to bid and the lowest bid coming back, not even close to what the budget is. It's happened a lot. And so we feel like this is something that will give both the contractor and the designer, design firm, a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more resources to work together, a little bit more flexibility with how they bid those sub packages and things like that, but also give them more information instead of just relying on some of the standard information that may be available and not knowing, okay, right now lead times on a rooftop HVAC unit is 18 months, which is crazy, but that's the reality that a lot of our guys are living in. And so that changes the cost, that changes the pattern of how that project's going to be worked and how it's going to be built. And so we've had a lot of stakeholder meetings recently. A dear friend of mine, State Senator Glenn Jeffries, has been organizing those. He's a contractor himself. So he's been getting the architects and the contractors and, you know, the lobbyists in the room to talk about, you know, how this is going to impact them and what's a piece of legislation we can put together right now you guys would all support and we can move forward with. And, you know, that's the kind of due diligence that makes some of these things happen a little bit smoother. But we do have some other things that we're certainly focused on. Workforce development is a huge one. We do have a new governor being sworn in here in a few weeks. We have a number of new legislators, 10 new senators, 28, I think, new House members. It's one of the biggest challenges of my job on the political side is getting to know all the new faces and folks that are coming into the legislature and trying to make sure that they understand what we do at ABC, which, you know, again, can be very difficult. You know, so we're going through that and trying to educate them on the importance of workforce development and trying to identify and locate additional funding streams and revenue sources to get to the, you know, community technical college programs or to, you know, private entities that can provide these trainings and really kind of shift just the narrative. And we have an enormous amount of respect for our higher education institutions in the state of West Virginia and always will. I'm a product of one. I know you are too. But you know, there needs to be a focus when these kids are in middle school and high school about explaining to them all the various careers that are available out there, because we find that a lot of the kids that end up in the construction field went to college for a year or two, they racked up some debt and they ended up going and doing what they probably should have done from the get-go. And so we want to make sure that they're aware of those options early and know that careers in construction can be a wonderful career to have. So these things are a little more tame than what we've worked on in the past. We have worked on some things that are a little more contentious. Right out of the gate when I got hired and at ABC, some of the central items that our organization supports across the country are things like right to work, the repeal of prevailing wage, PLA reform. Those were all three things that we passed in the first couple of years I was at ABC. And they were certainly big fights, but regardless of how contentious they were, it is something that our business organization and a lot of people in a variety of other business groups that we worked alongside on those efforts felt were important. We think the change in West Virginia from an economic perspective, signals that those things were positive, and that we shouldn't have compulsory union dues, or we shouldn't, put someone in a situation to, be terminated if they don't join the labor union. And again, some of these laws that have been very favorable to unions over the years that we've tried to manage and change a little bit here in the state of West Virginia. And so we've had some big victories. We've, been mostly playing offense, the last 7 or 8 years from a policy perspective, but occasionally something comes up, you've got to go in and do your best to make sure that it's either modified in a way to where your members are happy with it, or it, sometimes it just try to make it go away altogether and doesn't become law. And so that hasn't been the case as much. We've enjoyed a legislature that's very friendly to our membership, very friendly to the business community, and one that wants to engage them and try to build a larger, more robust economy in West Virginia. I mean, that's really our goal. I don't think there's an industry that's more directly correlated with the economy than construction. If our guys are busy, if our guys are building things, if our people are working, if we're looking and we're hiring, then that usually means the economy's in pretty good shape. If we're laying people off, if we're not working, if we're, everybody's crowding into bid rooms, on state projects, and there's not a lot of private work out there, that's usually a sign times aren't very great. And so the last 5 or 6 years have been good years in the construction industry, and we're doing everything we can to try to make sure that continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unemployment in construction is, I believe, at a 25-year low. So the economy is definitely booming for construction, and there's a lot of work out there, a lot of money, federal money that's passed on down to the state level and is being made available for these projects. So it's an exciting time, and I'll let you talk more about that here in a second, but it definitely seems like an exciting time to be in the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, though, still on the topic of your organization, I just want to give you an opportunity to tell the audience what's the single, and maybe it's multiple, but what's the biggest value of being a member with the ABC, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's hard to say that in a singular sense. Well, I guess it could, and I mentioned this earlier. I mean, ABC is a resource for its members, whether it's the collective voice that we provide on legislative policy, or the services that we provide through training, or the opportunities we have, in bulk buying programs and other things because of that unified voice and because of that approach. But at the end of the day, and I tell this to members that, have or companies that are interested in joining all the time, look at ABC as just a constant and valued resource for your company. It doesn't have to be you that reaches out to us. It could be one of your project managers, your estimators, one of the secretaries at your office. You need to find somebody that does this type of work, or a supplier in this part of the state because you haven't worked there before, then that's something we can help with. If you found yourself with a legal issue that you're needing to address and need a labor lawyer, we know all the best ones, right? If you have an issue with the Department of Highways and you don't know who to talk to, we try to connect the dots there. If there's something that's really bugging you on the regulatory front, we can set up those meetings and discuss that, or pursue legislation and try to codify something that's going to change how that looks. And so those are all things that we are involved in and do on a daily basis. It could just look in a number of different ways. And again, training is a big one of those. If I have a couple guys I'm really trying to get up in lead position, supervisor position, well, our supervisor boot camp and our young professionals leadership program have been very popular over the last 4 or 5 years. And so we give them opportunities to do that. So again, it can look a number of different ways, but it's really just that constant resource. And if you just don't know the answer to a question, you find yourself in a pickle or in a bind, give us a call. I mean, that's what we're there to do, is to try to find solutions. And it may exist on a legislative level. It may be a policy thing. It may be a regulatory thing or a rulemaking thing. Maybe a training issue. Maybe just simply making a referral. But usually we're pretty successful at making those things happen for our members. And I think that's what brings them a lot of the value that they get from being a member of ABC.
Yeah, that's definitely a good summary there. So jumping off of the topic of your organization and into the topic of the construction industry, what do you see as the biggest advantage to contractors right now?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism in the construction industry right now. It's been a good 4 or 5 years. There's, like you mentioned, there's been a lot of money on the street with regards to federal dollars and state dollars. But I mean, there's certainly been frustrations with, you know, some of the regulatory practices and some of the approaches taken to some of those things. But I think in the next 4 or 5 years, with regards to things like energy development, more potential tax reforms, things that have a tendency to give these little boosts in the economy and give the private sector the freedom that it needs to thrive, really is kind of a goal of the new administration on a national and state level. And so I think that's one of the things that has a lot of our contractors very optimistic in trying to, you know, identify ways to diversify and be bigger and be more active. But keep in mind, you know, and this is certainly no secret, you know, we live in an energy rich state, and a lot of people have titled us as, you know, the potential battery of the East, right? We sit on an ocean of natural gas. We still have, you know, hundreds of years of reserves of coal and all these things. And so finding the ways to make sure that those are utilized, domestic energy production, you know, is maximized to the point where it keeps our folks busy and all the industries that support it. That leads to so many other things. And again, if the economy overall is strong, then that means the construction industry is strong. People are investing money, then that means they need to build things. They need to put pipe in the ground. They need to do all those things. And so it captures a little bit of everything. But I think there's a lot of optimism around that because of, you know, changes in leadership on a national and state level, but also a continuance of, you know, doing what we're good at, which is things like energy production and you know, our geographic location. So,
yeah, it does seem like West Virginia is known for energy. And also, I know Senator Jeffries has been involved with economic development and so have other leaders in the state trying to bring in more businesses like Nucor and other areas, maybe the Eastern Panhandle side. But it seems like plant and manufacturing building is on the uptick or in the future. And I attended a conference a month ago, a national conference, and one thing that they had talked about were the mega projects. And not that I believe we have a mega project going on currently, but the mega projects being the $1 billion project, which, you know, takes a substantial sized company to perform, but that also generates a lot of sub work and a lot of work underneath of that and an economy to the region. But they talked about how that wasn't going to dry up anytime soon. There are currently 14, I believe, mega projects going on right now. And a lot of that had to do with chip building or chip manufacturing, the manufacturing plants for chips.
There's a big one in Columbus, that they're building right now. It's like $10 billion or something like that. I mean, it's huge. Something.
It is. And to think that construction would dry up anytime soon, you know, on the vertical building side, I think that would be naive to think that with all the technology manufacturing that's going to be have to be built for plants and such.
Well, one other area too that's been very exciting is data centers. There's a huge need for them. They're looking for places to land, and they're actually making them look, instead of just a drab building, they're trying to make them look a little bit more appealing. And so they might even have some of these in a more populated area. There's not a danger to them. They just consume a lot of energy. And so the play in West Virginia has been, you know, extract the natural resources that we have here, process them here, and then consume them here at a much cheaper rate than shipping it around the country. And use that as a means to identify and bring in some of these large data centers. And there's already been a couple identified that they're planning to come to West Virginia. But You know, so it's little things like that across the board that, you know, another one is like, we are a big energy producer, but there's been tens of millions of dollars in investment in West Virginia in solar farms. And a couple of our contractors started doing that work, and then they need another one, they need another one, they need another one. So it just depends on how the economy ebbs and flows. Our guys are ready to build it. They're waiting on it. And so they adapt with what people need. And I guess they need a lot of data centers, and they're building a lot of solar farms, whether or not we're pulling coal out of the ground. You know, they're putting solar on the mountaintop or windmills. And so it's our guys doing the work regardless.
Yeah. Well, it's good for the state and good for our economy. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about advantages for contractors right now, but what do you see as some of the biggest disadvantages for contractors?
Oh, I think it's workforce development is by far the biggest issue we face right now. We're approaching about 1 million job vacancies in the construction industry nationwide. It's over 900,000 now. While it's certainly employment's very low, there's every company could take on more work and could do more work. That makes the cost and time of doing work higher and longer. If we had more people getting involved in the trades, you know, that work could be performed quicker and more efficiently. And so we're coming up with as many creative ways as we can. And I mentioned it earlier, talking about our legislative priorities to identify and educate young folks on careers in construction, because there's a huge demand for it, an enormous demand for it. And so I don't believe, you know, that people talk a lot about, you know, the supply chain issue. I don't believe the supply chain issue is just, I believe it's more centered around the fact that they can't find people to do the work either. And so a lot of your blue collar type work is leading to these delays. It's leading to slows in production, slows in shipping, which is making it harder for contractors too, when they need to get steel delivered or when they need HVAC units, or they need chips, like you said, with or certain products that include these chips that are taking forever to get processed and built and sent in. And so that's going to be, I think, a problem that's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better too. And that's unfortunate. It takes a long time to sort of turn the ship around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've spent a long time in the United States, you know, pushing everybody towards advanced degrees. And again, there's nothing wrong with a lot of that work. We need people and accountants, people like me doing political work or lobbying. We need the lawyers and all those things, but we've developed a lot of degrees that ultimately don't have a tremendous amount of marketable value. And there's too many kids going in degrees with too few jobs on the backside of that. When we have industries that pay extremely well, such as construction and manufacturing, where we're all just really suffering for to find qualified people to come in and do the work. And so hopefully that shift, we can, you know, focus on that here locally and nationally. I know it's a big priority for both the incoming administration in the state level and on a national level. And so resources are a big part of that. Education is a big part of that. And so hopefully that's something that'll that'll get better and that we can build around. But it is going to be a problem, and I think it's going to remain a problem for several years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd mentioned the statistic that construction unemployment was at a 25-year low, but in the same article I read that, it also said that 90% of contractors were having trouble finding enough skilled labor to mm-hmm. perform the work.
Yep.
So it's definitely an area that needs more more awareness in the, like you said, the secondary school systems, you know, promoting it to the middle school and high school students, getting people involved with their trade schools and just informing them of all the careers that are available in the construction industry, and that you know, the typical college degree doesn't necessarily have to be the path you have to go through. And I'm a big supporter of trade schools and building the skilled labor workforce.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
If you were able to look into the future, where would you see the construction industry in West Virginia in 5 years, 5 to 10 years from now?
I think our energy play, which I referenced earlier, is that we're better positioned than we've ever been. Technology is continuing to advance to make, you know, those various extraction methods more advanced, more efficient. I think West Virginia truly can, label itself as the battery of the East, and we can also start producing and processing that more here. We love building pipelines. I mean, everybody does. That's a lot of money investment to put in West Virginia, but we'd like to see less pipelines and more production facilities and more processing facilities here. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity. And based on some of the conversations that I've had with a lot of folks, there is a big interest in that, with regards to storage, with regards to carbon capture and sequestration, with regards to, again, just energy production in general, and new methods of delivering that energy to consumers. And, I think that it always goes back to that. I mean, there's a variety of opportunities. You know, like you mentioned, Nucor is an enormous facility that's going to be a huge employer in the state of West Virginia. I think there's more of that to come too, which is going to keep our folks busy. But I think our industrial contractors are going to see a lot of positive things. And there's a lot of emphasis on trying to really expand domestic energy production and focus on national energy independence. And I think it's going to be taken to the max over the next 4 or 5 years. And that's going to pay a lot of dividends for us in West Virginia and the energy rich state that we are.
Mm-hmm. So, jumping off of the topic of the construction outlook here, what can we look forward to in the next year from the ABC?
Well, it's an interesting year for us. It's after that first year of after this expansion, and so at our board meeting yesterday was a lot of we had to put together a lot of projections and a lot of financial projections, and there's a question mark around certain things and how they're going to operate. What I would look for is we're really focused on making sure that we have more training options available to our members here in West Virginia, particularly on apprenticeship. We do have a panel at our Greenbrier meeting in January, bringing in some of the top experts from around the country to talk about their apprenticeship programs and some of the things that we're working with them on and trying to develop here in West Virginia, again, with workforce development being such a huge priority for us. And so I see things elevating on the training front. Our events continue to be very popular and well attended. And so, we're excited about that, but it's going to be our normal slate of events there. So I wouldn't expect too much different, but I would expect it to be, a good time and a good learning experience as it always is. But I'd also look too, I mean, we're going to have a lot of new things going on in this new territory and region that we now serve. And we're really excited about the opportunity of expanding the influence that we have as an organization in the Eastern Panhandle and in the Hagerstown market, which are two places, again, we feel like have been a little bit underserved. And we really have that chance to break through up there and try to put more people on the ground and continue to make sure that we're providing the best service that we possibly can to our members at ABC.
Yeah. So, we've talked a good while here about the organization and the construction industry. It sounds like there's all kinds of resources available with the ABC, networking, legislative, et cetera. Exciting times, like you said, in the construction industry coming up. It should be, we're still in the boom, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. With I don't want to say with no end in sight, because we can't look that far out, but we can definitely see a lot of construction that's going to be going on, not just the immediate future, but pushing 5-10 years out. So definitely exciting times right now. I love working in this industry. I've worked in it for 26 plus years on the accounting side, the public accounting side. So I know that it's been a good experience for yourself with ABC, and a lot of good information today about both the construction industry and your organization. But I wanted to give you a last opportunity. If there's any other message you wanted to send today.
I don't know. Well, I'll start too. I wanted to say a second ago, I mean, how we have enjoyed the relationship we've had with Brown Edwards. You guys have just been wonderful members of ABC. And again, you said you spoke at our summer meeting. I forgot that because I wasn't there. That was like
right. You were about to have a baby.
And then I've ever not been to that we host because you know, we were having a baby. So, but you know, Walker and Felicia did a great job of you know putting that event together. But you guys have always been right there when we needed something or when I've asked. You know, is there anything that you guys could speak on or that's important right now? You guys have just jumped on that opportunity and not only done that, you've done a tremendous job of it.
Thank you.
And so you continue to be supportive of us and our members. And I know you guys provide a great service directly through the county too. And so we appreciate all of that. And so I want to make sure I make that noted. I don't know if there's anything, I think that I'm a total political nerd, right? So this stuff doesn't excite a lot of people as much as it does me, but it's exciting times in West Virginia with, you know, we have a new governor, we have new leadership in the Senate. There's new people elected to both chambers. There's a new Attorney General, J.B. McCuskey, who's one of my dear friends. There's just a lot of different things that are going to be taking place in West Virginia. There's a new direction, a new vision, and I'm excited to see how it goes. You know, these are a lot of very, very good people, talented people, and, you know, they are different. The incoming governor is different than the previous governor, but he's going to be different than in the United States Senate as the previous senator was. And so I think West Virginia is going to have a lot of fun and exciting things ahead of him with regards to major reforms and policies that are going to impact everybody in a positive way. And these next couple of years are going to be for me anyway, you know, I get to work in it every day and I love it. You know, I love it. But again, I know I'm not as most people aren't as excited as I get about it. So if you ever need anything or want an explanation, just give me a call and I'm happy to walk you through it. So,
yeah, it does. Anytime you have change in leadership, you know, with whether it's at the national level, such as, you know, new president coming in, like you said, justice, new senator coming in, new governor coming in. Change doesn't always have to be bad. And it's definitely interesting and exciting to see how things are going to turn out, not just for our state, but for our nation. We do live in exciting times, and another 4 years, we'll have some more exciting times. But maybe since you're in the government relations business, maybe now's a good time to hire you for myself and announce my candidacy for the 2028 presidential election. What do you think?
I'm happy to help. Anything you need, I got you.
One other change I wanted to ask you about, because I know you're a graduate, but we have a change at WVU in football. So what do you think about Rich Rod?
The year of the comebacks. So this is funny. I've been in the Bring Rich Rod camp back, and all of my friends will attest to this, long before it was socially acceptable. I was a big fan of him. I know there's a lot of bad blood about how he left the first time and just the way that all went down. It stung. It hurt for everybody. But I always appreciated his style of coaching, how innovative he was. I mean, he invented the read option, right? That's the most commonly used play in all of college football today. And he invented it at Glenville State and then, you know, put guys like Pat White and Steve Slayton on it for a few years and they just run all over everybody. It was such exciting times. And, you know, he went to Michigan, did his thing, went to Arizona, and I just always thought there could be that opportunity. And if it ever came up, we should grab him. I'm glad they did. I'm excited that they did. I know a lot of people have some mixed feelings about it, but a lot of my friends are reaching out to me saying, "Hey, man, this made your day, I'm sure." And so, yeah, it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to the next few years. As much as I have not been a fan of how the NIL is structured and the transfer portal, these are times where it can be a blessing. Because you know, you can put together a new team pretty quickly. 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. If you had a coaching change, you almost had to assume you were going to have a rebuilding year or two, and everybody just had to kind of fight through it and live through it. You know, you see what Kurt Cignetti's done in Indiana, and how he's built a pretty strong team pretty quickly, coming over from JMU. And I think Rich Rod has every opportunity to do that. And I'm excited to be here for it as a huge Mountaineer fan. Basketball and football and baseball, I'm tickled to death. So no, that's not everybody's case, but for me personally, I was excited. So
my boys asked me how I felt about it, and I said, well, it's either going to be wildly successful, or it's going to be like one of those train wrecks that you can't take your eyes off of. So either way, it's going to be fun to watch. And I was excited, you know, that not just that they hired him back, but also Marshall got a West Virginia guy and Tony Gibson.
Wonderful hire. Yeah. Wonderful. So,
it's great for the state, both major programs.
I think the publicity too, and let's say Rich Rod is successful. We all hope it will be. Even the naysayer, they want to win, right? I think if he is, there's the comeback story, great publicity for the university and Pat McAfee and some and Pac-Man. A lot of these guys were big behind him, and they're just the justice or what they've been doing for the university through their, you know, efforts, their podcasts, their shows, all those things has just been tremendous. And so it feels like everything kind of clicked real good around that hire, and there'll be a strong buzz for a little while. I mean, obviously he needs to deliver, and the fans want wins. And that's what we're all hoping for. But there's just a lot of ancillary components to this, too, that I think are really positive for the university. So.
Yes, yes. Well, if there's anyone that needs to get a hold of you or anyone from the ABC Appalachia, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'm always available. All of my information is on our website, my email address. You can reach out to me, call the office. Call my cell phone, text, whatever works best for you. But we do have our website, abcwb.org. But look for that to change. It'll forward for a little while, but it is going to be abcappalachia.org. We were just putting the finishing touches on the new website here recently. And so we're excited to get that out. But check either one of those websites here as we go through that transition. You can get all of my contact information as well as all the contact information for our staff at the office. So.
Good deal. Well, there y'all have it. This wraps up another episode of Constructive Conversations. We want to thank our guest again, Brian Hoyleman, for being with us, and we hope to have you back again sometime. I want everybody to make sure you subscribe to our Brian Edwards YouTube channel and watch for future episodes online and wherever you get your podcasts. So this has been your host, Eddie Thompson. So long until next time.